Let's pray together. Father, we just ask that you would help us tonight. Lord, that by the Holy Spirit, that you would give us understanding and wisdom in the things of God. And Father, I just pray that as we look to the Word of God, that you just reveal truth to us, Lord. Things that the carnal mind can't understand. And Father, I pray that you would help me tonight, Lord, just to share exactly what you'd have me to, and that only. And I pray, Father, for hearing ears, that our hearts are open and receptive to the Word of God, that we might fully obey and walk in all you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. But tonight, we're going to learn some principles from one of the greatest leaders of all time, the Apostle Paul. Listen, if leadership is influence, as many say that that's a way to define leadership, it's influence. Well, if that's true, then only the Lord Jesus surpasses the Apostle Paul as a leader, because he is still influencing people today. I mean, he had a huge impact on his world while he was here, but even today, his ministry, the effects of his ministry still impacts us. So he is truly a great leader. Paul led when it wasn't easy to lead. You know, sometimes it's easier than others, and it can make you look good when you're not really that good, when everything's just going right. You know what I mean? But Paul led in one of the most difficult times, and so he's a man that I think we all need to learn from, because we all face some of those times, don't we? We all face some hard times, and if we can be a leader in those times, then we really are a leader. He shows us some key principles, I think, that are really missing from a lot of the secular teaching on leadership. And you look at the life of Paul and some of the things that he says about life and ministry, and it's just quite different than some of the things that you hear from the world around us. But tonight, we're going to talk about the cost of leadership. I really believe that everyone can lead someone if they're willing to pay the price to be a leader. See, it will cost you even to just lead your family. It'll cost you to lead somebody in a closer walk with the Lord. It'll cost you to lead in any area of ministry that you might get involved in the church. It's not really talked enough about. In fact, a lot of times when the church is, you know, I'm saying the church at large, I'm not saying this church, all right? When the church is wanting leaders and workers and people to step into roles of ministry, a lot of times the attitude in the way that it's presented is, hey, this is great, this is fun, you're going to like this. And they set the bar really, really low. And then when people get into those positions of ministry and leadership, they find out that it's not all fun. There's a cost. I'm telling you, there is a price to pay in leadership. You know, I don't think that discipleship is just about leadership by any means, but Jesus made it real clear, if you're going to be one of his disciples, that you got to count the cost. And I'm just telling you that it is certainly true in leadership. Amen. By the way, you can't be a leader in his kingdom if you're not a disciple. So you got to count the cost. There is a cost in being a leader. Some people think that being a leader means that they can finally have it their way. You know, like McDonald's, have it your way, or what is that, Burger King, which you can finally have it your way. If I'm the leader, then that means I get to have it my way. I told you this last month about Peter, and we talked about Peter, but it will cost you. It will cost you time. It'll cost you energy. It will cost you effort. It'll cost you money. It'll cost you popularity. It'll cost you, sometimes it will cost you what you want. See, people don't talk about this because that doesn't sound any fun. I mean, who wants to be a leader if it's going to cost you? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me, he said, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's not doing what you want. Denying yourself means you're not doing what you want. Taking up your cross means that you're doing what he wants. You're fulfilling the plan and purpose of God in your life. And so we just need to understand that in this life, if we're going to really follow the Lord, we're going to really be disciples of the Lord Jesus, there's going to be times when we're not doing what we want. It'll cost you what you want. Remember what Peter wanted? Peter wanted to fish. But he ended up doing what the Lord wanted instead. And sometimes you may want one thing, but how much more blessed you are when you end up doing what the Lord wants. So, leadership will cost you personal preference. Leading is never about the leader. It is always about those that we lead. And I realize you don't see that in the world, but I'm telling you, in the kingdom, it's never about the leader. It's always about the people that we're leading. Listen, if you want to help your neighbor come to Jesus, it ain't about you, it's about them. And we need to remember that when it comes to the decisions, the choices we make, I'm just telling you, there are going to be times when you got to put aside your personal preference. Now, there's a whole lot of scriptures that you get this attitude and this principle from the Apostle Paul, but one of those is 1 Corinthians 8:13. He says, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Another translation, he says, while the world stands. Listen, forever, he says, I won't ever eat meat again. If that's what it takes to keep me from being a stumbling block to my brother. You know, the general attitude, and I'm talking about amongst Christians, not just people in the world. The general attitude amongst Christians is that, well, it's my own business, what I say, what I do, what I like, what I eat. It's not anybody else's business. I'm not going to listen. I don't care about your convictions. These are my convictions. Come on now. That's the general attitude. But the Apostle Paul had this attitude that he was willing to subject his personal preference. I don't know about you, but I like a good steak. I hope I'm not offending anybody right now. But I really like a good steak. And it would be really, really hard for me to say, I'll never eat meat again. Now, what we need to understand, though, he's talking about matters of conscience, not just preference. But you see, when it involves somebody else's conscience, and it has to do with us reaching people, helping people, ministering to people, our little preferences aren't really important. And it just shows Paul's heart. And we need that kind of heart where we're willing to put our preferences aside. You know, one of the things that's such an issue in a lot of churches, and especially Spirit-filled churches, is worship music. And some of it just has to do with preference. Some of it has to do with conscience. And some of it has to do with what's right and what's wrong. But I'm just telling you that when it comes to our preference and just what we like or we don't like, we need to learn to put those things aside so we can have unity, but also so that we can minister to people and reach people, help people. Listen, leaders have to be willing to put aside their preferences if you're really going to lead. I remember in my youth pastor days, I got to go way back for some of this stuff to talk about because, well, I've said this before, but there's too many people that are too close to too many of the stories I could use, all right? So we'll go way back. We'll pick something harmless even from back then. How about that? But in my youth pastor days, you know, I remember when I was youth pastor, I really had a good time. I really had a lot of fun. I mean, most people thought I was just one of the kids. But as I got older, especially, you know, I didn't do what I wanted with those young people. I got sick of Six Flags. I mean, I just, you know, but I did what I believed would help us to reach young people and help us disciple young people, help us really impact their lives forever. Wasn't about me. Now, you know, you can especially see that anybody that works with the children's ministry, listen, they're not doing what they want with those kids. If it was the kind of ministry and the kind of things they liked, it sure wouldn't be reaching kids, would it? And I'm just using this as an example because I want you to understand that if you're going to reach your neighbors, your friends, even your own family, you got to learn to put your personal preference aside sometimes. There are things that are much more valuable than your personal preference. Here's another one of those passages where Paul gives us some insight about his attitude. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and through 24. He says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one others' well-being." Listen, again, this is so backward from the attitude you see a lot of time in the body of Christ where it's all about our freedom. It's all about what we feel and what we want. But he makes it real clear. You know, a lot of times people even quote verse 23, but you almost never hear anybody quote verse 24. We need to remember they're connected together here. But he's talking about things being lawful but not helpful. So it's not about whether or not something's lawful to us or we can do something, but it's about whether or not it'll help somebody else, not just us. But what does he say? He says, we're not seeking our own, but others' well-being. Now, this may sound really strange to you. And some of you, I think, may have a hard time with this, but you just need to understand it's not about my personal preference. I don't always dress the way I want to. I'm just saying. I know some of you don't think I dress nice enough. I've been rebuked before for the way I dress. But I'm just saying, there's times I don't dress the way. You know why? Because I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. Now, if you come tell me that if I don't wear a coat and tie on Wednesday night, that I'm a stumbling block to you, well, I'm going to pray with you. I'm not sure I'm going to let you control me that way. But I'm just saying, though, you know, there's just little things in our lives. We have to be careful that we don't allow our preferences to be a stumbling block to somebody. You know, mom and dad, you get home in the evening, and your preference might be to put your feet up in the chair and just relax and take it easy. That's your preference. That's what you want to do. But you got a little one that wants you to go outside and play ball with them. And maybe, I'm just talking about how you lead now. I'm just saying sometimes you got to put aside what you want and your preference in things. And you got to be willing to pay that price if you're really going to lead. Now, this next one just goes right along with it. But leadership will cost you personal freedom. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22. He says, "Though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." Wow. In this world, we're so concerned about being taken advantage of or somebody getting the best of us. And we think that leading is about being the big shot. But he says, "Though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win some." And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those without the law, as without the law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You know, at the risk of losing his own personal identity. I mean, he just was willing to put himself totally on the back burner. He just gave him his own freedoms up. He says, I've made myself a servant to all. Jesus is the one that first gave us that principle, isn't he? As he said, the leader is the one who serves. If you want to be a leader, you got to be willing to serve. And we need to get that down in our spirit and understand that if we're gonna really lead people, it's gonna cost us personal freedom. In fact, the higher you go in leadership, the more personal freedom you lose. This is far beyond even personal preference. But what you do, when, where, how often, sometimes it's dictated by your role in leadership and by those that you serve. It'll cost you. You know, when you're leading people, in a very real sense, if you have influence, leadership, they're looking up to you. And we need to realize what a serious responsibility that is when people are looking up to you. And you see, there's such a higher level of scrutiny. There's a higher level of integrity that's required. And you know, I think it's kind of strange sometimes that pastors and ministers are expected to do certain things or not do certain things, but other Christians are not. Because aren't we all supposed to live for God? And yet at the same time, we need to understand that the higher we are in leadership, the more wisely we need to live our lives. Because people are watching. Well, let's just start in the home. When you got some little ones, I can assure you, they are watching you, Mom and Dad. You're the leaders in their life, especially when they're little. I mean, you're it. And so often, we make that mistake of saying, well, you do as I say, not as I do. But you reproduce what you are, not what you say. And I'm just telling you that even in the home, in that basic, one of the most basic opportunities of leadership, that it's so important that you rise to the occasion. You give up personal freedoms. So you might be saying, well, I'm an adult. I can watch this on TV. Uh-huh. But maybe you need to give up that freedom for the sake of being a good leader to your child. Now, I'm just going to be real frank about this, all right? Why is it that in the church today, so many teenagers, as soon as they get out of the house, they quit going to church? I'm telling you a lot, and here's a big part of it. None of the parents in this church, all right? And they say, my parents are hypocrites. I'm telling you, you're going to lead your kids? You need to set the tone by living a life that's above reproach. Don't tell your kids to do something or not do something that you yourself don't abide by and live by. You got to understand that there's a greater sense of accountability. You know, in James 3:1, James says that not many of us should be teachers or masters, depending on the translation you're looking at. He says, because we'll receive the greater judgment. And I'm just telling you that the higher you go in leadership, the more that is expected of you and the more that is inspected of you, because people are going to be watching. If you want to lead somebody, you just got to understand that your personal freedom sometimes has to be sacrificed. You know, here's another way that leadership requires sometimes a cost of freedom from you. And this happens especially in the workplace, I think, but any kind of area of leadership it happens is, you know, when you're the leader, the buck stops with you. And everybody else can bail. Everybody else can say, hey, I've done what I'm going to do. But when you're the leader, well, you're in it for the long haul, and you got to get it done. This last one we're going to talk about is the least fun. Weren't those two fun? Right? The cost of leadership. So this last one is the least fun. It is, leadership will cost you personal pain. So we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 13. He says, you're already full. You're already rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and indeed I could wish you did reign, that we might also reign with you. A little sarcasm there. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed, beaten, and homeless. And we labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We've been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Here's a statement for you. A leader with a low pain tolerance won't lead very far. You talk about great leaders. How about Jesus? How about the Apostle Paul? I'm telling you, they both went through a lot of pain. They had a lot of people that hated them. You know who we call a good leader in our society? The guy that everybody likes, that everybody speaks well of. Oh, he's a good leader. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. And I'm just telling you that if you're really leading, there's going to be times when you don't feel popular. They say it's lonely at the top. Well, guess what? There's some truth in that. There's going to be times when there's going to be somebody. Now, I know what I'm preaching about. I remember reading a book written by Rick Warren about the purpose-driven church, and he was talking about how that it's easier to start a church than it is to change one. And one church that Carmen and I worked at, while we were working at this church, we read that book. And when he talks about changing a church, he says, if you change a church, he said, you will be the devil personified. Well, it wasn't too many months down the road that it was actually said, well, we got the devil in the pulpit. So I got called the devil for the first time. Maybe the only time, at least to my face. No, it wasn't to my face. I just heard about it. Anyway, but here's the point I want to make to you. I'm just telling you that sometimes when you lead, people aren't going to like you. They hated Paul. They accused him. They cursed him. They beat him, they whipped him, they stoned him, they imprisoned him. But he just kept leading. He was a great leader even from a jail cell. Now, you can lead a little bit without ruffling anybody. But for a leader to really move an organization or people from where they are to where they need to be, I'm telling you, that takes real change. Leadership is not just a pep talk. Sometimes that's what we want. We just want to be inspired a little bit and encouraged a little bit. But real leadership, I'm telling you, if you're going to help people grow in their relationship with God, you're going to help them get from where they are to where they need to be. I can tell you right now that it would have been easier for me in many ways for us to stay as a church on 4500 South Riverside and not change nothing. I had a pastor tell me one time, don't change anything for the first 5 years except your underwear. I'm sorry, I meant to say change that to socks. That would have been better. But anyway, that's the way he said it to me. But I'm just telling you, it would have been easier for me to just, for this church, for us to stay on 4500 South Riverside. And you know what? I could just draw a paycheck and sit back and just take it easy. But I'm telling you, we wouldn't be where we need to be, church. And I'm not just talking about physical location either. I'm talking about where we are as a church and what we're doing, where we're going, amen, in the future. You know, obviously it's not just about a location, but that was part of it for Joshua when he led the children of Israel into the promised land. But in the kingdom, leadership always involves taking people to a higher place spiritually. It's always about helping them get closer to God, helping them fulfill the call of God in their life. That's what it's about. And to do that, I'm telling you, it's going to require change. And change is uncomfortable. And change a lot of times is met with opposition and struggle. So I can assure you, if you're going to do that, there's going to be times that you're not very popular. You know, with your family, you want to take immature little brats, right, who sometimes act like the devil, and you want to train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You want to take them to the place where 15 years from now they are mature, responsible, wise, successful, and most of all, spiritual adults, right? Now, I want to tell you something. For you to get them from where they are to where you want them to go, you are going to have to make some unpopular decisions. There's going to be times when they may not even like you. Oh, they'll still love you if you do it right, but I'm just telling you. But leadership is just that way. If you're going to lead, sometimes, and I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight, it's not all hard. It's not all bad. I'm just telling you that too much of the time this has been left out when people talk about leadership. And then we say, oh, what's going on here? And leaders get disillusioned and quit. But I think if you know that, hey, this is just part of the process, that sometimes it's going to hurt, sometimes it's going to be difficult, then you can stick with it. You know, the popular attitude today is, and we're so democratic in America, it's all about, well, you know, let's all just take a vote. I mean, we don't need a leader. Let's just all vote on everything, you know, They even do the polls. We do the poll thing. See what public opinion is. We don't need a leader. We'll just go with the flow. They asked Harry S. Truman what he thought about the polls. He said, I wonder how far Moses would have gone if he had taken a poll in Egypt. What would Jesus Christ have preached if he'd taken a poll in Israel? Where would the Reformation have gone if Martin Luther had taken a poll? It isn't polls or public opinion on the moment that counts, or of the moment that counts. It's right and wrong in leadership, men with fortitude, honesty, and a belief in the right that makes epics in the history of the world. I'm just telling you, church, we need that kind of attitude, that it's not about popular opinion. It's not about what's going to be the easy way or just going with the flow. but it's about what's right. And when you lead that way, sometimes it's going to be painful. In fact, some of the pain of leadership, sometimes for many, as I touched on this a minute ago, but it's so great they just quit. The average ministry lifespan for a pastor today is 15 years. What I mean is 15 years is how long they make it before they quit. That's the average. But you know what? That's actually pretty good in the body of Christ. Youth pastors don't make it near that long. And a lot of times, others who serve in different areas of ministry don't even make it a fourth that long. And I'm just telling you, church, we need to understand that along the way, there's going to be difficulty and hardship and times when you get accused of things. I remember when I left that church where somebody said I was the devil. When I left there, I still wanted to be in ministry. I just wanted to do it on my terms. And it was about 6 months later or so before my heart turned and I was willing to do it on his terms again. And in about a year total before I was back in full-time ministry. But I can just tell you that sometimes when you go through those kinds of heartache and difficulties, and you know what? It can be with somebody that you're trying to help in their walk with the Lord. It can be with your own kids, and it can be in some area of ministry you're involved in. But you go through those times, you just got to realize that sometimes it's going to cost you pain. Pain comes when you're doing the right thing. But it's not easy. Instead of being loved for what you do, sometimes you got to take heat for it. Just remember, they hated Jesus and they hated Paul. Is that misery loves company, right? I want to read one more passage to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 29. Wow. After you hear this and you read this, I tell you, it makes me feel a little silly about any of the things that I've been through. But he says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1, 3 times beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? You know, Paul just went through so much, and yet he had an inner strength to just keep going. And I want to encourage you tonight that when you feel like what you're doing doesn't matter, or you feel like what your leadership isn't wanted, I'm just telling you, you need to keep going. You need to let the Lord give you strength and say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One last point I want to make about this, about sometimes it will cost you pain. You see, a leader has to be willing to make hard choices, difficult choices, and deal with difficult situations. At one time, Peter just kind of got off out in left field. We talked about Peter last month and what a great spiritual leader he turned out to be in many ways. But Peter was one of those real extroverted, gregarious kind of guys. And he just, evidently, he liked people and he liked to be liked. Now, I'm going to tell you, leadership is hard if nobody likes you. But it's not just about being liked. So Peter, he decides that because of peer pressure, when certain Jews are around, he's not going to eat with Gentiles. The Apostle Paul finds out about it. And I want to tell you why it's a big deal. Because Peter wasn't just somebody, anybody, nobody. He was a leader in the church. And so when Paul finds out about it, he confronts him. In fact, I want to read it to you. It's Galatians 2, 11 through 14. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Wow. This Paul guy, he is not winning any friends, is he? I mean, he's calling these guys hypocrites, and it's recorded in Scripture forever. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? He confronted him in front of everybody. And by the way, you know, we say you're not ever supposed to do that, and generally that's right, you don't. The reason that it was necessary for Paul to confront Peter in front of everybody is because Peter was a leader, and everybody else needed to see. Everybody else needed to know that what Peter had done was so wrong. But here's the point I really want to make from this story. Paul was willing to do those kinds of hard things. He was willing to deal with issues that other people would have just looked away. And I'm telling you that if you're really going to lead, if you're really going to make a difference, there's those times when you got to make hard choices. You're going to lead your family? I'm just telling you, there's going to be some hard choices that you have to make. There are so many ungodly influences in this world, and we desperately need parents who will be parents, not take a vote, be the parent, be the leader in your home, and make some hard choices about what's right and what's wrong, no matter how unpopular it is. Well, that's the best preaching I did all night. But I'm just telling you, we need those kinds of leaders in the home, in the workplace, in the church. It'll cost you. It'll cost you some personal preference. It'll cost you some freedoms. It'll cost you some personal pain. But it's worth it because you have an impact, a real influence on lives. It's going to make a difference in eternity. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you. I believe, Lord, that you are raising up leaders. Lord, maybe they'll never be acknowledged in the eyes of this world, but I know that there'll be a day that you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, I just pray that for these that are here tonight, I pray they be encouraged and strengthened in their spirit. Lord, for the days ahead, Lord, days when others might just take the easy route, Lord, that they'll be strong and they'll do the right thing. I pray, Father, that you give us influence, Lord, as we're ready to handle it, Lord, that you just open those doors of opportunity for us to lead, for us to help somebody else and make a difference in their life. I pray, Father, that we would just be anointed of the Spirit, led of the Spirit, Father, to be able to say the right things at the right time, in the right place, the right way. And Lord, that you use us to accomplish what you desire. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen.